Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 102 of Generation GC. Cardiology, the title track from Cardiology, Good Charlotte's fifth album released in 2010. My name is Molly Huddleston, once again, and as always, I'm your host, as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. My guest today is Joshua Kale. Last time, we talked about You're Gone from Good Morning Revival. Our next episode is a bonus episode talking about something that is not a Good Charlotte studio album track. Joshua Kale is a high school teacher in Australia. He's our second guest living in Australia and our third guest that is Australian. Joshua is 28 and Good Charlotte were his first favorite band. They were huge in Australia when he was growing up. He even remembers buying a 4-CD pack of their first 4 records and going nuts. Which, by the way, I want that. I mean, I have all the records, but I don't know. I like the idea of the first 4 records all coming in a pack together. Joshua also did a few years of youth radio on and off in his early 20s, which I had a lot of fun talking to him about. Also, yeah, wow, we are on a streak. 3 weeks in a row of new episodes. That is so exciting to me, and I haven't done that in a few months. I think since the summer, maybe even the spring. But it feels really good. I'm really happy and just really proud of myself that I have been able to do that despite my health and my constant chronic migraines. I do have one more episode that'll be out before the end of the year. It is mostly edited, just needs to get the finishing touches, like the intro and everything. I'm super excited for you guys to hear that one too. And yeah, I'm starting to get on track for recording in the new year, and I'm excited to get back to recording new episodes, which I haven't done since like September. That's really exciting to think about. And on that note, a few reminders before we go into episode 102 of Generation GC. First, I am very much looking for guests for new episodes that will be recorded in the new year. I love having guests from all around the world and from all different backgrounds on Generation GC. And if English isn't your first language, that's okay. As long as you're comfortable holding a conversation in English, you're good to go. And different backgrounds doesn't just mean location or ethnicity. It means ensuring a varied gender and sexuality representation and representing fans of different ages and fans with your own unique life experiences of any sort. So if you've got something to say, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, hey, I would love to come on an episode of Generation GC in the new year, please reach out. I would love to have you. I'd be so happy. Reach out. Just find me on social media or email me. And finally, Generation GC stickers are here. If you do want a sticker, all you've got to do is support the show on Anchor. Go to anchor.fm/generationgcpod and click support. All that money goes right back into making the show the best that it can be. Helps me print and ship the stickers, helps me buy equipment that I need, it also helps me with things like Dropbox storage that costs some money monthly, and I really love to make sure I have everything backed up just in case I want to have all of my files. So, to support the show on Anchor, send me a screenshot of your support as well as your mailing address. You can hit me up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at GenerationGCPod, B-O-D, or email GenerationGCPod@gmail.com, and I will send you stickers. And that's all you got to do. I would love to send you stickers. Please, you know, reach out if you want stickers, and just reach out if you want to talk. If you have feedback on an episode, if you have a question for me, if you just want to tell me something you liked about an episode or didn't like, or anything you would want to hear from the show going forward. This show has brought so much joy to me in what's been a challenging year with a lot of pain, and I am just so happy to be finishing out with a streak of really awesome episodes. And with that, we are on to episode 102.
All right, so we are talking about Cardiology today. This is track 15. It is the final track as well as the title track from Good Charlotte's fifth studio album, Cardiology, released in 2010. Track 14 is Right Where I Belong. And then there are various bonus tracks if you get a deluxe edition. Cardiology was not a single and it has never been played live. There's not really like a whole lot of like background on this. It's a deep cut, I guess. I mean, it's a deep cut, but it's a title track. And we are going to dive as deep into it as we can. But before that, Josh, I want to help our fans get to know you And the first thing I like to ask everyone is, when did you first hear Good Charlotte and what were your first thoughts on them?
Yeah, so I vaguely sort of remember hearing Little Things when I was like really young, but like I didn't know it was Good Charlotte. And then as time went on, when The Young and the Hopeless come out, I just remember seeing like Girls and Boys in the anthem. Like I was only probably about 7 or 8, and I remember thinking all the music videos are really funny, but obviously like their like pop melodies stood out because like I enjoyed it. And as a kid, I feel like a good poppy melody is something that sticks with you. But they were a really popular band, or they're really popular band over here. And I remember even like all my friends really loved them. And all my friends were like, you know, had their CDs as well. So it was pretty easy to get into them with all those like sort of factors.
Wow. It's pretty cool. And I mean, so you're the third person we have had on the show that's from Australia, but only the second living in Australia. I mean, I know that GC has toured out your way a few times. Have you ever gotten to see them live?
Yeah, so I haven't seen them live, unfortunately, but I did see when Benji and Joel toured as the Madden Brothers.
Oh, wow.
I think that was in like 2014, but that was like, it was really cool to see Benji, you know, getting like more, well, maybe not more recognition, but he's like songwriting and he's like, he was right front of stage, if that makes sense.
Wow. Wait, so I love that because, and I'm so jealous because they really didn't do many shows in the US. So tell me what that show was like. Was it like a big crowd? Was it like, I don't know, I'm really curious. Like, was it like moshing like you'd find at a Good Charlotte show, or was it more relaxed since it's a lot of acoustic stuff?
It was probably our second biggest music venue in Melbourne from where I'm from.
Okay.
Which is a pretty decent effort for what effectively was their first album or release of songs. Like they've got a lot of like pull as Good Charlotte, but like they're still right, well known enough on their own right to get a decent crowd. And yeah, I just remember being a really sort of like friendly atmosphere. Like wow. I don't know how to sort of say that, but yeah, we went, my sister and I actually went there, and you know, everyone was like getting into it. There were like families and kids and stuff as well, which was like, I thought was really cool.
Wow. That's cool that there were like families with kids. I feel like, I don't know. I mean, I was going to say, I was starting to say that, oh, you don't see that at a Good Charlotte show, but like I've had a handful of guests on this show that are parents that have children. So there are Good Charlotte fans that are at least now old enough that they have kids, but that was, I mean, I don't know. Like that was what, like 8 years ago. Wow. What a cool experience. I'm so jealous that you got to see that, that you got to experience the Madden Brothers live. Wow. I want to pivot a little bit. I heard that you did youth radio for a few years. I mean, tell me about that. Like what kind of radio shows were you doing?
So to go back to the start, I remember there was this weird radio station that used to pop up when I'd go scanning in my car that would play such an eclectic mix of like songs that I was always interested. But then I found out through one of their ads that they were a youth radio station.
Okay.
My friends and I were about 19, 20 at the time. And we're like, well, let's just go on there and have a show. So our shows, each radio show had to have a theme. So we focused on things that were happening in our city, Melbourne, and just sort of like, because we were all university students at the time and had different experiences and spoke about the events that were going on. But basically, I just wanted to play my own sort of music on the on the radio, to be honest. And my friends were more about the actual show and chats themselves. But I used to operate the panel and sort of introduce the show and get it to the other guys. And I'd like talk as much as they did, but like, I suppose like I just wanted to play my own weird music on the radio.
Wow. That sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, the obvious follow-up question is, did you play Naked Charlotte on your show?
Yeah, of course.
What did you play?
Oh, I played a whole range of stuff, but like, I love like songs like Ghost of You and like.
Oh, so you went deep. Cool.
Yeah, like because I thought like everyone's heard like the hits and there's a reason they're hits because they're great songs. But I'm like, if there's no like there wasn't much of a criteria for music to play other than we had to hit like about 50% Australian music because that's part of their contract as a youth radio station that they play Australian music. But that was pretty much it. So like I always would try to put in songs that maybe like, you know, a listener hasn't heard as often and be like, oh wow, that's good Charlotte, you know, like I always thought that was pretty cool.
I love that. What other artists, you know, can you recall playing on the show? I mean, or that you had in like frequent rotation maybe?
I suppose like just some of my like other favorite bands, like Blur, Nirvana, Green Day. I just played a whole range of stuff because like I never doubled up on an artist throughout a show. Mm-hmm. So it'd just be one song from each artist. But I tell you what, I did like listen to a lot more music on Spotify at the time just to try to not pad it out, but just like have a more eclectic mix. No sure. way. But sure. that was so much fun. That was probably my favorite part, like making a playlist like the day before and getting it all ready and just trying to make it flow well.
Sure. Yeah. That that curation is, that sounds like a lot of fun. Wow. That's so cool. Radio is so cool. So nowadays you are a high school teacher and I just wonder, I mean, what's it like teaching high school? Like, we talk on this show, a lot of people talk about discovering Good Charlotte when they were, you know, that age, like teenagers. It's such a formative time for kids. And I'm just so curious what it's like to see that happening, to see, you know, however many young people like growing up in front of your eyes.
Yeah, well, the school I'm at, I wouldn't know how to describe the sort of equivalent in the States, but effectively I've just got students that are like 16, 17, 18 years old. Wow. And our school's not like a traditional high school setting. It's more preparing them for trades, preparing them for other like hands-on sort of work.
Like a vocational school.
Yep, exactly right. So, and a lot of our kids, for whatever reason, it didn't work out for them in mainstream schools. So it's like a non-traditional setting. Wow. But you get some kids that are like really cluey and switched on and definitely more advanced in terms of their music tastes than I was at that age, which is really cool. It's exhausting, but it's rewarding. It's just like the outside of work hours and planning and stuff that's boring, but the actual interactions with the students and like trying to like help them like building confidence, that's the really rewarding stuff.
Wow. So do you teach a specific trade?
So the way I describe it is I sort of give them I teach the basic subjects and then they do their more specific work in their trade areas. Okay. On other days. So like we have subjects like literacy, numeracy, things like personal development skills is like we come up with projects. So it's good fun. It's different to a traditional sort of teaching setting.
Wow. That sounds like it could really make a difference for, you know, like you said, some kids who really had a hard time in typical mainstream schools.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
So the last thing I want to ask before we dive into this specific song is you did mention some of these kids have, I think you said, what, pretty advanced music taste. So I am curious, like what are your students listening to?
So it's a really like, it's a real variety. Some of the kids are right on top of it. Just like, I don't know whether Spotify is having an effect, but it just seems like they know a lot more bands and different types of music than I did at my age, where it seemed to happen fairly organically. But to sum it up, they all have different music tastes, but the only band they all seem to enjoy together, oddly enough, is the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Really?
Like, obviously, they've been a great band, but that band, like, and people listen to pop, rap, grime, you know, I don't hear much pop punk, but like they listen to so many different styles of music. But
the Chili Peppers are universal.
Yeah. Yeah. They never get any complaints when they're playing. But I'd say, yeah, a lot are listening to like sort of more pop oriented stuff and some pretty average Aussie rapping. But other than that, like, the music's generally pretty good, but yeah, that's the only thing that they can agree on, which is
wow.
Like, it's just funny because like I don't know how. Well,
yeah,
like I like the band, but it's just like I just didn't expect that to be the band. Maybe it's to do with their childhood and everyone was listening to them when they were younger, but like they'll literally, like, you play anything else, at least someone will complain and want something else on. So they usually just listen to their own stuff, but yeah, that's something that they love.
Wow.
Singing along to.
I am so glad I asked that question because I never would have guessed the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, it's random.
Okay, so Josh, we connected on Facebook. I think it was earlier this year. I am super happy to have another guest coming all the way from Australia on Generation GC. And I would love to know why you wanted to talk about the song Cardiology.
I've always really enjoyed Benji's ballads. You know, he's obviously written some really like sweet and sensitive stuff over the years, and this song, like, you know, has a really sweet atmosphere, and I think like sonically, like, it's probably as nice a track on Cardiology as any of the others, just in terms of the atmosphere they construct. It's just really pretty, and I love pretty songs.
Yeah, that's a nice way to put it. It's a pretty song. It's a nice atmosphere. Let's get into, I guess, the meaning of the song, you know, what it's about. And the first thing I wrote down was that it's a nice little bow on the album. Like, it ties everything together. Do you have like a, I don't know, what would you say is your, like, your interpretation of the song?
Well, it's weird. Like, when I first heard it, it's almost like a throwback to, like, well, in my head anyway, the sort of Chronicles of Life and Death sort of beeping sound on that track, but just okay, like with the heart and that sort of medical theme. But I think like it's almost marveling at, like, you know, the complex feelings and emotions like people have, but like how like everyone has those feelings and thoughts, but we still don't really understand why. That's sort of the gist I got after sort of deep diving into it. But yeah, that's how I sort of interpret it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward. Like, you know, right, it's the heart feelings, it's a big mystery. We probably won't ever fully understand it. I think there's also something in this song about how letting your heart explore something new can bring you something really wonderful. It might also bring you pain, but it might also bring you something pretty awesome that may, I don't know, maybe it makes the pain worth it. I guess that's like, you know, the follow-up.
Yeah.
You were talking about the like beeps from Chronicles. Are you talking about like at the beginning of the song? Because I wrote down that I thought that was like a chime sound.
Yeah, so not like in terms of the like I didn't think there was a similar sound itself, but with like the beeping, I suppose the kick drum or whatever they're using, like in the beat, that, you know, the boom, like I that just reminded me of that sort of theme.
Okay.
Yeah, but there is some weird sort of chime at the start. I'm not actually sure what instrument it is, to be honest.
It's like a heartbeat, that kick drum, which makes sense. The song is called Cardiology. I mean, there's a lot of like harmonies on this song, but also like I get a lot of echoing, which I don't know, maybe that's like symbolic of something, maybe that's just an effect. What I'm kind of curious though is like, because we have this song and then we also have Introduction to Cardiology, which are like, they're very similar. Spoiler alert, if you have not heard the whole album yet, if for some reason you're listening to this podcast on the song Cardiology from the album Cardiology and you haven't heard the whole album yet, the introduction and the title track, they're pretty similar. The title track is essentially like expand and it's longer. What I'm kind of curious, like, and I wonder your thoughts, Josh, like, what do you think was written first, like the intro track or the title track?
Oh, that's a good question. I almost imagine that this song was, I'm not answering the question, but I almost imagine that this was one of the first songs written and that they've based it around these themes after, you know, finishing the album. But I'd say the song itself, and then they sort of put a bite-sized version at the start. I'm not sure, to be honest.
I like when you said about like maybe they wrote this kind of as they were starting the album, because very early on in like the press cycle for Cardiology, they were talking about how it was going to be called Cardiology, and it was like all about the different conditions of your heart or something. So it wouldn't surprise me that they like went into it with all these themes and thus wrote the kind of the finale track. What does surprise me though is their only like finale track, because I have a few intros, but I don't think they have any other like outro songs, so to speak.
Yeah, it's hard. Like them repeating the theme from like the opening track, like, as you know, is something that they've done before. I suppose, I don't know if I'd say it's an outro track, but like in this world, Murder of Chronicles, like repeats, you know, obviously some of the musical themes from the intro there.
Yeah,
I don't know if that would count as an outro because it's not stated, but like, I suppose you could say that it's sort of like an outro as well. I'm not sure.
I don't know, but there's also like either Falling Away or Meet My Maker and Wounded.
Yeah, on the different,
you know,
copies. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like tie into the themes of the album, but don't use the title of the album.
Yeah, it's not as explicit or as
yeah,
you know, direct.
Yeah. I want to check in about like genre, which sometimes is pretty straightforward. Sometimes it's like a little more of a discussion. And like a lot of the reviews and articles about this album, both, you know, critics that reviewed it and the band talking about it in interviews, called this the pop punk album, or the return to their roots, you know? I'm curious, Joshua, like, what about this song specifically? Would you say the song Cardiology is a pop song? Would you place it somewhere else?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say it's pop punk. I suppose in terms of like returning to their roots, I suppose like I could imagine this song on an earlier album just with acoustic guitars, almost like a change, or, you know, or isn't forever, but I suppose the instrumentation is what makes it different. But I'd probably say it's like a dream pop song. It's very lush and textured.
Ooh, okay. I like that. I like that descriptor. I was going to say, I mean, like Beach Boys kind of come to mind for me with this.
Yeah.
But, and I was going to say like old school pop rock kind of, like Beach Boys-ish, but I like dream pop a little better, I think. That's a good one.
Yeah, but I think you're right with the Beach Boys comparison. It does seem like something they would be singing about, and I suppose like with those like harmonies at the end of the song as well, it's very like Beach Boys-y. I don't know if that's a good description, Beach Boysy, but that's what we're going to have to roll with now.
Yeah. In terms of backstory, there really is not much backstory on the song Cardiology. Benji did a track by track of his album for Alternative Press. And when they got to this song, he said, "Is a mystery? Question mark. That's it. That's it. Nothing. That's it. That's all we got." There was also an interview with Spin about the album title. Spin asked him, "Why did you name the new album Cardiology?" And he said, "Cardiology is a study of the heart, and that's what we spend our lives doing, trying to figure our hearts out. Not just romantically, but with our family, friends, and every emotion we have in our lives. All of the new songs, whether it's the most heartfelt or the funniest party track, are all tied to our emotions." Which, I don't, like, I feel like, all of their songs are tied to their emotions.
Yeah, that my quote's like saying everything and nothing at the same time.
Right.
That's something that like draws so many of their fans to them. I know myself, like that it doesn't matter what genre of music they're doing, there's always this real sense of genuineness in their lyrics. And
right.
Even when they're being sarcastic on like a song like "Keep Your Hands Off My Girl," I can imagine that being a club they went to, you know, like, I don't know, I always got that sense that they were really like straightforward to the point, even when they were making songs that, you know, not parodies, but like talking about different things than what they'd normally sing about.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm just biased because I love Good Charlotte, probably.
Well, and like, I was thinking about "Keep Your Hands Off My Girl." Honestly, "Good Morning Revival" to me is a great example, because when I wrote down like other Good Charlotte songs this relates to, I wrote down "Break Apart Her Heart" and "Broken Heart Parade," which are both from "Good Morning Revival," and they're both like commentary on love, so to speak. And yeah. I feel like both of those are have some commentary, some sarcasm, but like both of those and "Keep Your Hands Off My Girl," like there's some jealousy in those, right? That's an emotion. Like,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe they mean just like a more personal, like individual view versus like about other people. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, it's always natural to try to find a thread to other songs. And I suppose it's cool, like, thinking about those songs and this one, how it seems like a sort of sweeter detour. But, yeah, it is very much in the vein of, you know, what they're talking about in those songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is cool looking back and yeah, trying to figure out, like, as you said, as I was saying before, that there sort of seems to be there's always like, even if it's exploring different emotions, it always seems to come from a genuine place, whereas some bands, yeah, like it doesn't.
Right, like it feels phoned in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Good Charlotte have always written almost from the perspective of their fans as well. Or they're very like, they're like service the fans a lot and write songs that they know their audience will identify with. You know, like "Hold On" or "We Believe." Like they always seem to like strike a chord, and maybe they like sometimes they're even writing from like possible fan perspective as well. I'm not sure, but. Yeah, they've always been good at that.
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, like, the more we talk about, like, this quote about the album title, the more I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, yeah. The album that talks a lot about their feelings, I guess, but I kind of feel like all of their albums talk about their feelings in different ways. Yeah. I don't know. Do you have any like memories or stories that you want to share about the song Cardiology?
Just when I first, so like I do remember hearing the press cycle about, oh, this is going to be like early stuff. Like, I'm going to, this is like, you know, we're going to step into the void that Blink 182 have left and things like that.
Right. Cause it was it was not long after. No, Blink had just gotten back together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just remember them saying that. Maybe they're just like.
I remember them saying that too.
Maybe they were just talking about, like, you know, being the best pop punk band in the world. I remember when I was listening to this album, this one was a bit of a grower. I remember like immediately loving songs like Let the Music Play and Silver Screen Romance and quite a few songs. But I remember hearing this song and like I enjoyed it, but I knew it would get better over time. So I do like it when they, I wouldn't call it a detour, but like some of their like, more challenging moments in the Chronicles of Life and Death, I suppose, like it sort of reminded me of that in terms of like the thought that was put into like the atmosphere of the song and how it was like put together. And I enjoy it when Good Charlotte do that, because like, even though like they're obviously such great like hook writers, they have the best like pop songs. Like I do really enjoy it when they like put together a song like this as well, because I feel like they do it well. I think that it's like underrated. Well, again, I'm talking about Chronicles of Life and Death because that's my favorite Good Charlotte album.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like, you know, they create such a cool atmosphere on that album. And like, I do like it when they get a bit more challenging, because they still write like really pretty hooks, even with the instrumentation is like different. So, yeah, sorry, I'm rambling on. But no, I remember hearing this song and thinking, oh, okay, this is cool. I know this song's going to get better for me like over extra listens, because you know it a lot of thought's been put into it, and you pick up more details over time in this song.
I definitely feel like I've picked up more details. I think that's a good point. The only story that I have, it's more about the album as a whole, but minor Good Charlotte related story. This would have been like the summer before it came out, so the summer of 2010. I just remember I was home from college and I had gone to Friendly's with my mom. I don't remember what I ate. And this was like, Twitter was still sort of new, and a big thing a lot of people did, myself included, was like you could have your tweets sent to your phone, and you could get, if someone mentioned you or followed you, you would get a text message.
Okay.
And you could also like have text alerts for every time Good Charlotte tweets, whatever. So I definitely had that. And I also had it set up that like, I think it was like, if anyone tags me or mentions me, that I will get a text alert. But anyway, I just remember getting like a text alert that they had like retweeted me or something, or like replied to my tweet saying I was excited for the album. And I very distinctly remember being in a Friendly's with my mom. That's about it with the story, but yeah, I don't know.
That's sick that they responded. That's cool.
Yeah. I want to touch on some reviews. Not entirely positive, but like, you know, yeah, the reviews of this album as a whole generally were not very positive. Some people liked the song, but a lot didn't. You know, not surprising, whatever. Consequence gave this album a D, and here's what they said. Cardiology is a mystery. Good Charlotte frontman Joel Madden sings awkwardly on the title track of the band's new album, Cardiology. He couldn't be more right. Well, this batch of songs is a move back towards the type of music that warmed our hearts 5 years ago. Good Charlotte just doesn't have the same punch they once did.
Well, I thought Benji sung this anyway.
I thought so too. Yeah. I thought so too. Other than that, I think that's actually like a clever use of the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like, Cardiology's a mystery. He couldn't be more right. I think that's a great writing.
At least we know they actually listened to it.
Yeah. The Urban Wire gave the album 3 out of 5. They were not fans of this song. The title track, Cardiology, is a disappointment, though. Amid backing vocals of oohs, Madden tries a slower and softer style of singing. It doesn't quite work, with distracting sound effects throughout the track, like an irritating blowing noise that plays throughout the whole track. Blowing noise? Do they mean like some of the like very whispery, like wispy harmonies?
Yeah, well, I'd assume so.
And a relatively, that's in parentheses, relatively less annoying electric guitar effect that kicks in halfway into the track. Okay.
It's weird for like, they've like, well, they've given a sort of like middle of the road review on the album. But like, I feel like they tried really hard to like this song because they've noticed like that electric guitar effect is fairly like, it doesn't like stick out like as the main sort of feature of the track. So I feel like, I don't know, they could end up liking the song because they're like going into such great detail about it. I suppose that's their job, but like, yeah, I didn't notice that first few lessons.
I don't know, maybe that just stuck out to them.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next review is from Cleveland Scene, and I just remembered that when I interned at a venue in Cleveland, Ohio, there was someone I interned with who wrote for the Cleveland Scene. And I was like, did she write this review? Oh my God, this was not her. This was written by Nicholas Hall. Cleveland Scene said, there's some forgettable stuff too, like the folky pop and U2 style anthems of a few songs, but it all ends with the title track's lovely a cappella harmonies blending with pop classicist touches, forcing you to crack a smile.
Well, there you go. You're talking about Beach Boys. They've got that in caps, which I'm sure is like deliberate. Like that's
their big. Oh, I didn't even catch that at first. Yeah, good guess.
Neither did I.
That's gotta be intentional. The BBC review. This is something. Oh, but wait, what's this right here at the end? Cardiology, the song. An auto-tuned choir singing a Beach Boys influenced doo-wop ballad about the vagaries of the human heart, garnished with droning synths and an anguished lead vocal, sprinkled with twinkles and bolstered up by a very cardiovascular drum machine, a sonic revelation. Here, these are all punctuated with question marks. Every one of these sentences ends with a question mark. Granted, it's not exactly Kid A in the bewilderment stakes, but it'll do nicely for now. That's a Radiohead album, right? Kid A?
Yeah.
What are they trying to say about Radiohead? Like, are they trying to say Radiohead is like the pinnacle of all music? I'm confused by that sentence.
I think maybe they were surprised at that album when it came out. And I think maybe they're saying, oh, we didn't expect this sort of song right at the end of the record.
Okay.
But like they've always done a song or two like this. Yeah,
it's like a slow song on every album.
Yeah. It's interesting, like, they mentioned the auto-tuned choir. Like, I thought it was auto-tuned too, and I was wondering if that was, like, deliberate, because to me it sounds like it's used very strongly, but to me it seems to be used almost in not the same sort of way, but how Kanye used it in Stronger, like it doesn't sound the same, but to me it sounds like it's a creative choice to use that in this song.
Yeah,
it's so strong. It's usually like bands try to like cover it and use it subtly, like here, like it's, we know they subtle. Can harmonize. Yeah, And I remember that's one of the things I was talking about when I first listened to the song, that I'm like, oh, this is like more challenging than I thought at first, because I remember being like taken aback by that. But like, I wonder if it's got some sort of theme to do, like, I know we've mentioned the heart, but to me it sounds like almost like robotic, and like, is it again got something to do with the machine from Chronicles of Life and Death?
Maybe. Like,
I wonder. It's, yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, like it was like a, what is it, like a heart, not a, like the heart, the monitor,
the machine.
I can't think of the words. Yeah.
Yeah, but I just remember being like, "Whoa, that's really strong."
Yeah.
It seems creative, like choice, because like they harmonize so well naturally, just being twin brothers. So like, I think it was like a creative choice.
Yeah, I think it was a creative choice too. I don't know. I was just thinking, because listeners, as we record this, it's been 8 days since I was in the emergency room with a migraine. So I was hooked up to like one of these monitors pretty recently, and like, I don't think it didn't beep continuously, but I guess that's just, you just get the da. That's like if you're dead, right? Like,
yeah.
Like it took my blood pressure every couple minutes and had a little thing on my finger to like check my pulse or whatever. Yeah, I guess it's a good thing I didn't hear the beeping. but yeah, I like what you say about like a machine. Maybe it's like representing a machine, how there's, I don't know, artificial stuff that comes into all this. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I have no idea, but yeah, it seems like so like strong, and I'm just like, this is a choice here, and I'm like, I'm wondering what they're trying to represent.
There was also a review of this album on ultimateguitar.com, which went pretty in depth. They gave this album a 5 on sound, 3 on lyrics. Overall impression was 4. The reviewer scored at 4 and users scored at 6.1. They gave the lyrics 3 and said, the only songs that I consider tolerable with regard to lyrics on this album are the first 4, 1979, and Cardiology. That being said, they still don't compare to earlier music. The Daily Trojan from the University of Southern California, which is the school I almost went to, by the way, that was my second choice. They said, closing the record is the title track, Cardiology, which is an extended version of the 47-second introductory track. Further reinforces the idea that Good Charlotte has come full circle with this record. If there's any one album that can define Good Charlotte up to this point, it is Cardiology. It touches on all the elements of his past repertoire while adding an increased eye for detail and finesse. There are fun party songs, but also mature tracks about love and spiritual struggle, meaning that the record captures almost every feeling across the emotional spectrum. What this release will do for Good Charlotte's fan base remains to be seen, but it's hard to imagine that anyone from either of the two factions could listen to Cardiology without having a smile across their face. We got a good review!
Yeah. And it's, yeah, I agree with them.
Yeah. Daily Music Guide gave the album, 3 out of 5, and they all also used a photo that I think is from 2003. And I say that because Benji had the pink hair with the leopard spikes. And it also has like Paul, Joel, and Billy, like they're pointed out on the picture. Billy's wearing a level 27 shirt. Joel has skeleton gloves. It's a very 2003 picture. I'm just looking at it. I'm just taking it in. That hair, Benji, wow. Anyway, this website, you know, they're talking about how Harlow's song will speak to anyone who has ever loved something. And then they continue to say, Cardiology is a similarly sweet song, although the sound of the ventilator laced over the track straddles the notion of creepy. But with Good Charlotte, this oddly fits. Okay. That, yeah, that makes a lot of sense in context, I guess. Ventilator. Good Charlotte might have aimed to make a Blink-182 record, but Cardiology is nothing like a Blink album. It's grown-up, catchy music for the aging pop-punk fan, and every Good Charlotte lover will embrace it wholeheartedly. Not a lot of fan comments, but there were a few. There were a few. There was a fan upload by Ask Me Horizon. Transformation Station said, "Well, when you write as many songs as GC have, some are bound to be similar to another song. It happens to me all the time."
They didn't mention a song, though. I want to know what the other one is.
I think they meant the intro.
Oh, yeah, true.
That, yeah. The Party Watch was talking about the artwork. It said, on the right veins, it shows the words Aura, Terra, Ignis, and Aqua, meaning the four elements, air, fire, earth, and water, although I'm not sure which is which. I don't know. Josh, do you want to take a stab?
So Aqua is definitely water.
Yeah.
Terra, I think that would be earth.
Yeah.
Ignis, like ignite, fire, and air, yeah. Aura.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I didn't like look it up, but I feel confident saying that those are all correct. Anglais Rocker 13 said, sounds like Owl City.
It's funny, when I was looking through your notes and I saw that, actually my partner loves Owl City. I don't, to be honest, but I did play it to them and I said, I mentioned afterwards, I'm like, do you think that sounded like an Owl City song? And she's like, yeah, it sort of does. So I'm like,
okay. From an good Owl City fan. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. If that means she likes it, I don't care what it sounds like. Yeah. She thinks it's good.
There was only one comment on songmeetings.com. And I'm just sad because I really like when I get to read the comments on song meetings and people are fighting. Adalia 3X0H said, I really like this song, and it's Benji taking lead vocals here, right? I'm going to trust someone that's like a fan that's commenting on songmeetings.com over someone reviewing the album that clearly was not a fan and probably wasn't paying close attention. Like, the fan was probably paying close attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, even now, like, I feel like I've gotten better at it over time, but even now, sometimes I'll listen to some songs and be like, oh, yeah, that's Benji, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like
he's a little raspier.
Yeah. But, like, how blessed to have, like, a band with two twins who have, like, very similar voices that, but, right. like, for harmonies, like, that's something that, you know, 98 or 99% of bands don't have. So cool.
Yeah. Josh, this has been wonderful. I'm so glad we could do this and so glad we are able to reschedule. How has Cardiology held up for you over time?
The song or the album?
The song.
I think it's still, if I do listen to Cardiology, it's probably one of the first songs I play. I just think that, you know, maybe because I've farted on about it before, but because it is textured and lush and that you still find new details in the song, like on later listens, like,
yeah,
it has that replay value. And it's not like, while it's very sweet and it's got a nice melody, it's not necessarily as immediate as some of the other songs. So I think that sort of gives it more replay value, which is like, is cool. Cause you're like, you want to keep listening to it.
Definitely. I love that. What has Good Charlotte meant to you over the years, and how has that changed?
Yeah, like, just again, they're like my favorite childhood band, and like it's cool that they've come back and done a few albums. Like, even now, like, and I suppose, like, they're not always seen as the coolest band when you talk to people about music, but like, I can never stop listening to them. Like, even, you know, when I've listening to like different styles of music. Like if I hear a good Charlotte song on the radio, I'll like turn it up really loud. And you know, I'm still very invested in all the band members and like listening to podcasts and things like that. So how I discovered your podcast. So
yeah,
still love them.
Amazing. Do you have any last words about cardiology, about Good Charlotte, or about yourself?
I re-listened to Cardiology again, like the album the other day itself, and like I forgot how many strong songs are on here. I remember at the time I like preferred Good Morning Revival, but like songs like Let the Music Play and Counting the Days, like I wish there were still songs like that on the radio, well, at least over here. Yeah. Like they're very poppy, but like they're better players and the other bands that are on the radio. And like just thinking of like, I just, when I was listening to like It's Her Birthday, I just, the guitar solo Billy played, I'm like, this is like, now I couldn't imagine anything like this getting played on the radio.
Like It's Her Birthday? No, I don't think that would get played on the radio today. But yeah. Like, Let the Music Play. I could see that maybe being played at least on like alternative stations. Like, yeah, like maybe not top 40, but like alternative stations. Like we have, I think it's 104.5 in Philly.
Yeah. Well, that song, like, what an amazing chorus. Like that, I don't know, maybe I haven't been paying attention as much, but like it's such an anthem. I'm like surprised it's not spoken about more highly, or that I haven't seen it.
Listen,
spoken about more highly.
Listen, I have a Let the Music Play tattoo. So
that's gross.
I'm with you. That it is an excellent song. But yeah, Jaja, this has been wonderful. As we wrap up, so I have a Generation GC and Friends Spotify playlist where I add the song that we discuss as well as a recommendation from my guest. So could you give me like just anything you're listening to lately that's not Good Charlotte?
Oh God, what have I been listening to lately? I'll have to check Spotify. I was going to do some dodgy self-promotion.
Oh,
I have please. Two songs on Spotify. Probably the best of those is called Disconnect.
Okay. My
artist name is Agent Bliss.
Agent Bliss. Okay.
Yeah. So maybe that's one.
Oh my God. Of course.
I'm going to my on repeat. I can't believe I can't remember off the top of my head what I've been listening to. I suppose like a song that I'll add to the list is called Someone Call an Ambulance by Daniel Johns. He was the front man of Silverchair, which is kind of got a creepy vibe, and the vocals have got like sort of similar quality to the part at the end of Cardiology, actually. So it's cool.
Wait, okay, so you mentioned a Silverchair song. Billy Martin, we all know Billy Martin's a big Silverchair fan, and I have to, now I'm like, okay, I wonder if Billy Martin had a big role in arranging and writing this song.
This is
I'm finally gonna dive in to Silverchair and explore that band.
Okay. Yeah, so it was the lead singer's solo work, and it's from this year, but yeah, that was one of the things I listened to. Billy, I can't remember what the podcast was called, but he spoke about Silverchair, and it was like so cool to hear him geeking out about Silverchair like any fan, because it like it makes them even more relatable, because you're like, oh yeah. My God.
Something I remember hearing him say about Silverchair, it might have been the same podcast, was that like he was still in high school when they made the first album, and he said that Silverchair, like they were all also still in high school when they made their first album, and he thought that made them like so cool, and he was like, excited.
It's funny you mentioned that, because my cousin, who's like formed a lot of my music taste, is probably slightly younger than Billy.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's an Australia thing. We call it tall poppy syndrome. Like, my cousin didn't like it because he's like, oh, I could be writing this music. But then later, as he got older, he loved Silverchair. But as a kid, he's like, oh, this isn't Pearl Jam. What's going on here? They're very, very cool. And Daniel Johns, like, himself, like, has a lot of interesting music. I don't love all of it, but it's always interesting and challenging, which is cool because, like, I feel like there's a lot of good Australian bands, but I feel like they're a bit lazy. Like, they're not as ambitious as they could be sometimes. So it's always cool to hear, even if he's not always succeeding with what he's experimenting with, it's, like, cool to hear him trying anyway, because, like, when he does, like, you know, hit a home run, it's awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Joshua, this has been fantastic. I'm so glad I could have you on the show. I'll definitely be in touch as I listen to a whole bunch of Silverchair myself. As we wrap up, I mean, if people want to stay in touch with you, where can they find you on the internet? Did you want to share your socials?
Yeah. So my Instagram is at JDKAYLL. Got a weird last name. I probably use Instagram more than anything, but also as well, I've got 2 songs on Spotify. It's just a hobby of mine. Agent Bliss, 2 words. But yeah, that's pretty much my socials.
Amazing, Joshua. Thank you so much. Listeners, thank you for tuning into this episode. Make sure to check out Agent Bliss. That is Josh's musical project. Oh my God. Last time we talked about You're Gone from Good Morning Revival. Our next episode will be a bonus episode talking about something that is not a Good Charlotte studio album track. My name is Molly Huddleston. Once again, and as always, I have been your host as well as the producer, creator, and editor of this podcast. You can follow Generation GC at Generation GC Pod, P-O-D, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also follow me, Molly, at M Huddleston, M-H-U-D-E-L-S-O-N, on Twitter and Instagram. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please make sure to follow the show, subscribe wherever you listen, please rate, leave reviews, but most importantly, tell your friends. Word of mouth is the best way to spread the word about Generation GC. Thanks for tuning in.